You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. And, folks, if you want to get that look at the game, you can watch all Cleveland Browns games on demand and in HD on your computer, tablet, or mobile device by subscribing to Game Rewind on ClevelandBrowns.com. You can get that all 22 coaches tape that you always hear about and really start to break the games down. Now, someone who breaks the games down very well and does it for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Bill Hillgrove now. He is the play-by-play man for the Steelers, the voice of the Steelers, as it were, joining us now on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Bill, thanks for joining us. Thanks for doing the show today. And let me just ask you this, because things feel different to us in Cleveland about this game. Do things feel a little bit different in Pittsburgh about this game, maybe not taking the Browns as lightly this time around?
Well, I think that's pretty obvious. I think, first of all, the team knows that they're walking in to a hornet's nest. And I think the fans know that because of what happened the first time around and because of what they saw the Browns do at Tennessee, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that, there's a sense of urgency here. And I think it's good. I think it's good that this rivalry now has a chance to be back and be strong. And I think, you know, that's...
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill, talk to me a little bit about the fire that offensive coordinator Todd Haley's been under recently. How is that affecting Big Ben? How has it been drastically affecting that offense?
Well, I don't know where you got that, but I'm around them quite a bit, and I don't see any fire. I don't see any, ugliness between the two guys. I think they're both professionals. And, you know, this goes back to when Ben made a comment about really liking Bruce Arians.
Right.
And I think since then, some media people just try to keep the fire alive, and really, I don't think there is any. But I don't know. Is it play calling? I don't think so. I think it's execution. You know, they're the fourth best offense in the conference, but they're 12th in the red zone, and I think it's been a lot of execution problems.
When you look at this offense, I think right now it really goes through Le'Veon Bell, who's off to a phenomenal start, second in the league in rushing, second in the league in yards from scrimmage. What has been the biggest difference in his game other than the fact that he seems to have shedded some weight and gotten quicker, but why has he been so effective?
You know, he got healthy, and I think that's what held him back as a rookie. He just had trouble getting out of the tub. And as you well know, rookies, you know, they're on that fast learning curve, and if they spend any time at all away, you know, they have to get back on the track again, back on the bicycle and ride it. And it's tough. This year, he's been healthy, and we can see now why they saw him on that draft day 2 years ago as a guy who could be the future. And, you know, he does it with his legs, and he also does it in the pass game, so they don't necessarily have to go to a third down back. And the guy has just brought it, and he complements LeGarrette Blount very well.
Yeah, certainly offensively, the Steelers, as you mentioned, fourth in yards, not struggling. Defensively, though, this doesn't seem to be kind of a Dick LeBeau defense, not getting the quarterback as much as they want. They're banged up. First of all, any injury updates, and then how do you see this Steelers D kind of in the context of a Steelers defense?
Yeah, it's not been the run-stuffing defense that they were when Casey Hampton was here, but I think it's one that's getting better. And I know it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, but last week Jacksonville had the ball for 8 minutes at the top of the game and got 3 points. And from that point forward, the Steeler defense was off the field in less than 2 minutes every possession. So to me, that was encouraging. Yes, Ryan Shazier will probably not play Sunday. And I guess, the same is true for Ike Taylor, who's still carried on the roster. It'll be a while for those guys to get back. But other than that, their health hasn't been too bad.
As you said, it was such a strong grasp on that Pittsburgh locker room. What creates the most buzz, the most cause for concern, both offensively and defensively, for the Cleveland Browns this week?
Well, you got to deal with Ben, and Ben is probably one of the most competitive people I've ever been around. And I really think he's at the top of the list of quarterbacks who actually get better when you pressure them. And I know the Browns love the pressure. So that's going to be interesting to see how he kind of ups his game and gets better when the pressure is on him. They have suffered 9 sacks in the last 2 games. Yeah, that's a matter of concern, but it's not just one thing or one element. It's a combination of things, including the back's responsibility to pick up the blitzer, wide receivers to run the correct routes so that the ball goes there on time. And I think, you know, that comes combination of things has led to sacks. And Lord knows if they keep doing what they've done against Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, the Browns defense will have a feast.
Now, Bill, not only are you the voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're also the voice of the Pitt Panthers, and a couple of them playing big roles for the Cleveland Browns right now, Jabal Sheard and Kaywan Williams, the undrafted free agent who had a massive sack, played well against the Tennessee Titans in that comeback win. What do you think about those two players from your time covering them at Pitt?
I could see with Jabal that he was going to be able to help the right team that could put him in the right spot, and I think alternating with Paul Kruger is the perfect spot for him. You know, he's quick, but he's very strong for a guy who's really not oversized. Kaywan, I always loved his play as a defensive back, and it doesn't surprise me that he's your co-leader along with Poyer in special teams tackles. So it's great to see the Panthers doing well.
Yeah, and again, Bill, is so the confidence that the Cleveland Browns offense is playing with right now and the efficiency that they're playing with, do you feel like the Pittsburgh defense really needs to rise to the occasion to stop what statistically right now is one of the top 10, top 15 offenses in the National Football League?
Yeah, and it's going to have to start with a run. And I know the Steelers in the past have shown vulnerability to outside zone. So that's the key because, as you well know, all three of your backs average over 4.4 yards a carry.
That's right.
Teams in the league have guys, you know, three deep that can do that well.
Antonio Brown has always given Joe Hayden fits. Heck, he gives everybody in the NFL fits. NFL record, 21 straight games with 5 catches and at least 50 yards. He's been unbelievable. What is the secret to his success?
He's in ridiculously good condition. He can run all day, literally. If you just send him out in the morning, like you'd send a pet out, and say, Antonio, run all day, I'll see you at 4 o'clock, he would do just that. And I think, you know, that relentlessness is his key. Okay, yeah, he's got quickness. He runs good routes. He's got really good hands. But I think his secret is that he wears defenders down.
And he does it as well as anybody in the league. When we sit here from the Cleveland side and put our Cleveland Browns hat on, we think the key to this game, stopping the run and then getting to Ben Roethlisberger. Not just getting to him, but getting him to the ground. From the Steelers' point of view, what is the ultimate key in their mind to coming into Cleveland and taking a win on the road against the Browns?
Take good care of the football. That's exactly what they have to do. And I think it's going to be a great game, so it's probably one of the best of the year in the league. So let's do it. Let's renew the Turnpike rivalry and bring it back to where it was.
Let's get that done, Bill. Appreciate the time. We'll see you here in Cleveland on Sunday. And thanks for so much for the insights, not only on the Steelers, but also to those Pitt Panthers making noise for the Browns, Kaywan Williams and Jabal Sheard.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right. Bill Hillgrove, the voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pitt Panthers, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And you know what? It's nice to hear, because easily he could say this isn't a rivalry in any way, shape, or form, but it sounds like he's hoping that it gets back, because it's more fun when there's a rivalry, you know. And I think that it's good to know that people in Pittsburgh taking the Browns seriously, but the Browns still need to get that win to cement that and begin to change things.
They do, and you know what I read into it, it's there's a mutual respect being regained. And I think that starts with Mike Tomlin on down. You heard Mike Tomlin talk about this football team and the praises. And it's not just blowing smoke, because certain coaches can blow certain smoke about a bad football team and make it seem like they're something they're not. But I think, again, as he said, legitimate concern that the Pittsburgh Steelers have to stop our run attack, because they know if we can run the football, and he talked about that susceptibility to get to the edge, you know, we'll feed those backs all day long, which only sets up those windows and opportunities down the field for Brian Hoyer and those receivers.
No question. And the reason that the Browns were so very much in that first game was their ability to run the football. Even when they were behind, they stuck with the run. Let's not forget in that one, they totaled 191 yards on the ground. All three running backs, West, Tate, Crowell, averaged over 6 yards a carry. The Browns are going to attack that again, and they're going to attack it again, and they're going to attack it some more. And Ben Tate, I think, is in line for another massive game. Let's not forget, whenever he's had 19 carries in a game in his career, never rushed for fewer than 80 yards. And I'm thinking another game, another trip over the century mark is certainly in order for Ben Tate, and will be a key to get the Browns the W.
There's no doubt. I think Ben Tate, you got to feed Ben Tate. Again, as we said, 124 yards last week. I think Browns fans sometimes take for granted a guy like Ben Tate because we've got two young backs waiting in the wings and we got a little sampling of what they're capable of doing. They're a change of pace right now. They're a rest for Ben Tate. Ben Tate is our guy. We need to feed him.
We need to feed him, and the Browns will feed him. And we certainly want to feed you, Dog Pound, and hear from you on what you think is going to happen. It's a Call Your Shot Friday. When we come back, Matt and I will take a tour around the National Football League. We'll pick our games. Spoiler alert, we were both 12-2 last week. Not too shabby, but that's a stalemate. We're going to hopefully differentiate this week. I'm going to go first, and Matt will try to piggyback off my picks, but he will do ineffectively as we go through the entire National Football League. But to Call Your Shot, we do want to hear from you. Still to come, Mary Kay Cabot at 2:15 p.m. Eastern, at 2:30, the Friday Forecast with the Kid and you. 216-578-0850. You want to call your shot, we'll put you on in the middle of our picks when we return on ESPN 850.